think you should start with the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch in the Hakdoma has an absolutely unbelievable mahalach with exactly what happened at Matan Torah. Says the Sefer HaChinuch in the Hakdoma like this. He says, again, I'm giving you a rough translation. The Sefer HaChinuch writes that the biggest truth amongst people, that people accept as truth, is based on the acceptance of witnesses. If witnesses, says the Chinuch, comes to us to tell us something, it's a natural, normal thing for people to believe those witnesses that yes, they saw it. And he continues, says the Chinuch in the Hagadoma, that if that witnessing is multiplied and multiplied and multiplied, the more amount of people that see something only magnifies, only makes bigger the truth that you actually believe it over there. So he writes, this is exactly what happens as well. Can you imagine when people witness something and they give it over to their parents and they give it over to their grandparents, to their children, who give it to their grandchildren, who pass it down the lines. The more people that hear it, the more people that know about it, only adds to the MS, adds to the truth that happened over there. And he writes, that's exactly what happened at the Zman of Matan Torah. There is a reason, and the etzem is a gewaltig old kasha that people ask. Why was the Torah given at Mount Sinai? And at Sinai? What was the purpose of it? Why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu give the Torah to Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, Yaakov? What happened over there? Kodesh Baruch Hu had to wait to Sinai. So, many questions, many answers, many famous ones. But one of the answers that the Chinuch is telling us is a tremendous yisoid. And that yisoid is as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited b'dafka to have millions of people, 600,000 adult men, apart from women, apart from children. There are millions of people standing there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited b'dafka at that time for a reason, among many reasons. And one of those reasons was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give the Torah not just to Klal Yisrael, but to give it in front of so many people, with the witness of so many people, that they would give it over to their children, and give it to their grandchildren, b'chuli, b'chuli, b'chuli. Until somebody, everybody would know that this was something that MS that happened in front of everybody. And again, the yisoid is when so many people witness something, it only strengthifies and makes bigger the MS that everybody believes after that. And not only that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we know, Chazal tell us, they didn't just see the Matan Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chazal tell us, gave Klal Yisrael a certain degree of nevuah. They were able to see on a prophecy level of sight. So, in other words, to get it on a real level that they were able to understand exactly what was going on over there. So they didn't just see Moshe coming down with the Torah. They were able to comprehend it on a whole different level in order to make their eidus, their testimony, something which is 100%. And he says like this, and he said they saw it in a way that it's so clear, it's not possible for anybody to come afterwards and deny that. And it goes further. I heard once from Rabbi Bernstein, he brought down a malbim, kabaldika malbim. This is this malbim, it's unbelievable, this malbim. He wanted a tie, and it says the malbim like this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'davka gave the Torah in front of 600,000 male adults in order, right, that they'd be able to see it and they would process it for all generations. And he continues, if somebody comes along many years later, whatever that may be, and says, I am a shliach from God and I have been empowered to give you a new Torah, what are you going to turn to him and say? He says, excuse me. All we know is that the Torah was given originally at Har Sinai in front of 600,000 people. You claim that you are a shliach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You got a new Torah. You got some new laws. Well, get together. We'll have to have 600,000 people. It's got to be witnessed by everybody. You can't just come along and say, you know, we've got some things that we have to cancel out. There's a couple of laws in there that don't really apply nowadays, right? So if you say that sort of thing, you can say, hold on a minute. The Torah was given originally in front of 600,000 people. You want to say that things have changed and the things that were given them don't apply? Then the way it came has to be the way it goes, and we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come down in front of 600,000 people, just like he gave the Torah
to cancel out, so to speak, as well. If the Torah was given in that way, then the only way something can come along and be an emesik coming along to be Torah has to be in the way that it was given. Somebody once came to Rabbi Yaakov Emden and he said, "Come on, new generation! We welcome the new," and the old is sort of going along with history. It's gone, it's finished. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden said to him, "Listen here, my friend. If you say that, that's fine. But you've got to get all of Klal Yisrael, or 600,000 men, going back to Har Sinai and give the Torah back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that's what you claim, the Yisrael of the Malvim is a Gavaldig Yisrael and it comes from the Chinuch, and that is, there is a reason why specifically HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Har Sinai in front of millions of people. Reason number one. So that nobody can ever doubt such a thing." Can you imagine? You have a couple of agents that look at something, right? You have someone that cut 300, 400, 500 people, 200 people, and they said, "We saw something." Over the generations, it gets lost. It gets eventually. A couple die, and a couple forget, and eventually it's gone. When you've got that many people witnessing something, passing it on to their children, grandchildren, v'chulei, 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 it's not possible. It's emes v'amitai. Nobody can deny such a thing. That's reason number one. Reason number two is that if anybody would have the audacity to come along and say, "Well, we've got some new laws that apply nowadays as opposed to the old ones that don't apply anymore," we would say to him, "Excuse me, we know that the Torah was given in front of 600,000 people. You claim that you are a sneer from God with new laws? You better come with the same idea as it was given in order for us to believe you over there." Let's continue. There's a Modik Chsam Sofer Rabbi Yisai. Unbelievable, this Mamokin. The Chsam Sofer in Yerideyasim and Shinun Vov wants to say like this. This is mind-boggling. Says the Chsam Sofer, a person gets up in the morning and he has a dream and an ambition. "I'm going to put on tefillin." So he puts on something that looks like a horn on the top of his head and he goes out and he says, "Rabbi Yisai, this horn is what the Torah meant by saying on a Torah voice, Bene Necha." People look at him, "You must be absolutely off your rocker. You're completely insane. You would never get away with such a thing. What, are you completely crazy? We've been doing this for hundreds of years. We've seen from our parents and our grandparents that they want to fill it. You're coming along with this new thing." Can you just imagine if somebody come along and start with all these new, you know, crazy ideas of, you know, Karbonus, Talaminim, Matzah, all of these sorts of things, and start giving it their own idea of what it could be, inventing these new mitzvahs. Says the Chsam Sofer, nobody would do that. They would never get away with it. Can you imagine if someone came into the Beis Medrash tomorrow morning before you had Shacharis and said, "Listen, I've got this horn, like this whole massive horn apparatus," and he says, "This is what the Torah meant by tefillin. What are you guys wearing? This black box?" Everybody would get the white guy, the man with the white coat, and carry it away. The guy's crazy. Zuktach Sam Sofer, what is this teaching us? It's impossible for somebody to come along and invent a new mitzvah. It's possibly not possible, because no one will ever get away with it. Elamai, must be, said the Chsam Sofer, that all of the mitzvahs that we do and how we do them was all given at Har Sinai, and it's something that's been passed for generations and generations and generations. Because if not, it's not possible for anyone to have ever gotten away with such a thing. Let's continue. Klal Yisrael. What do you say? Nasa v'nishma. Right? Everybody knows, Medrash says, they went around to ask all the nations, do you accept? And eventually Klal Yisrael said, "Listen, we're not even going to think about it. We don't even know what you're going to tell us. We're going to just do it. Nasa v'nishma. I don't know. We'll figure it out afterwards." Right? Just give us the details afterwards. We agree. Says the Beis Halevi, a gavaldig kasha. Says the Beis Halevi, "Slicha, I have a major halachic problem with what Klal Yisrael did, because it doesn't work. The halacha is, that we paskin, that if a person accepts upon himself something that has no end, that has no boundary, that is not bound by anything, the obligation isn't chal, it doesn't work. If you say to your friend, 'I am now going to accept everything that you say,' does that statement have any halachic basis? No. Because you cannot accept upon yourself something that doesn't have any boundaries. If you don't know the details, you can't accept yourself upon something that you don't know what you're going to be mekayeh. And therefore, says the Beis Halevi, I have a gavaldik kasha," says the Beis Halevi. How did Klal Yisrael get up and say, "Oh,
Nasa v'nishma.
Nasa v'nishma. You know what you're talking about. You want to say Toshim Ksav, maybe they did know. Toshim Baal Peh. They know all the halachas and brachas and mukhtar and masavot. They didn't know all these things. So how is it possible, halachically, for it to work? How did Nasa v'nishma work? So the Beis HaLevi answers in a tshuva, and he answers a long answer that we're not going to go into too much detail, and he answers that the difference between the goy and the yid is as follows. We know that a goy has Shema Mitzvah B'nei Noach. We know that Klal Yisrael are Tariyag. So the question is, what's the difference? So he explains the difference is like this. The Yid and the Klal Yisrael didn't just say Nasa v'nishma, we'll do whatever you want. That's not the pshat. What Klal Yisrael meant was, explains the Beis HaLevi, is we are selling ourselves to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're selling our body, our guf, our neshamas to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The din is that when you were an Eved, when you were a slave, and you were sold to your master, even if you have no idea what your master is going to tell you, you have to do everything he says because you sold yourself physically to him. Says the Beis HaLevi at Har Sinai, by Kabbalah HaTorah, Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves not the Torah as an obligation. We will do whatever you say. No. We sold, he brings rise to this, I'm not going to go into. But he brings rise that we sold our guf, our neshama, our whole essence to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to the Torah, and therefore, everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes after us to tell us is lemaisa included in that. And obviously that's the difference in a yid and a goy. A goy doesn't have that. A goy doesn't stand himself, a goy has to keep the Sheva. Mitzvahs b'nei noyach, and that's it. He's a good guy. He has obligations to keep. Let's continue. Nase v'nishma, says the Gemara, famous Gemara Rabbi Yitzchak. When Klal Yisrael said Nase v'nishma at Har Sinai, what happened? Says the Gemara, the Malachim came down to offer them crowns and said, this keser, this crown is for Nase, and this crown is for Nishma. What does Nase v'nishma mean? What is the translation? Right? Without going into art scroll. Nasa means we will do. What does Nishma mean? So the Zohar HaKadosh explains that Nishma means we will learn. We will learn, we will do, and we will learn. So there's a modic akasha. And the akasha is, why didn't they say Nishma v'nase? Nishma v'nase means we'll learn, and then we'll do. That's what makes sense in normal order. So the answer to this is as follows, as the Gevaldige Gezach. If they would have said Nishma v'naseh, then it implies that they're only going to learn in order to do. And that's not correct. We have to realize, and this is something that we really have to internalize, Torah is not only to be studied in order to know what to do. Because that's not the Yisoid. You know, I once was on an aeroplane and a woman from France actually asked me this question. She said to me, is there anyone out there that studies not for the sake of knowing what to do? In other words, not knowing how to eat matzah and how to shake a lulav and how to keep Shabbos. I said, yeah, there are people out there that will learn for the sake of Torah. For the sake of Torah. And the Etzner Beis HaLevi says this Yisoid. And he says, when you say Nasa v'nishma, then it means we will do and we will learn. People have to realize that Torah is not a bunch of svarim and statements in order to know how to keep Shabbos, how to keep brachos, what to do. No, Torah is Torah on itself. It has intrinsic value on its own, and therefore they said Nase v'nishma, and that's its gevaldige gezach. Because Lemaisa, we know the Salevi says this. The Gemara says that why did they lose? Why were they exiled in certain times in Klal Yisrael? Shelo berachu b'Torah tchila. They didn't make Birchas HaTorah, Shkoyach. That's a reason. So bad. They woke up in the morning, they went through a day, they're sitting studying, learning a rash by the Tosfos. They didn't say Birchas HaTorah. Big deal! Who cares? Because of that, it's the exile. Does it affect the Beis HaLevi? Zog the Beis HaLevi, such a beautiful Yisoid. Ah! He says like this. When you build a sukkah, you make a bracha?
No.
When you buy yourself a lulav and esrog, when you buy your matzah, you make a bracha? No. Why? It's what we call a hechsher mitzvah. A hechsher mitzvah means this is not the mitzvah itself, but it's something that enables me to do the mitzvah. We don't make a bracha on that. Al Pizeh says the Beis HaLevi, in those days, Klal Yisrael thought, what was Torah? A hechsher mitzvah. Torah was something that taught you how to live. How to do up your shoes, how to keep Shabbos, how to do... It was
just an instruction manual how to run the world. What to do? So therefore they call it as a hechsher mitzvah. They didn't make a bracha. And that was their mistake. They didn't realize that Torah was choshed for itself. Every single word of Torah is not choshed for itself. Even when it doesn't get anywhere further than that. Rabbi Aaron Cutler has a famous kasha over here as well. Rabbi Aaron Cutler has a modik kasha and he asks, how is it on Shavuos? There's no practical mitzvah to remember what happened at Matan Torah. Pesach, all the mitzvahs, eat the matzah, and do everything that you have to do, Sippy says, Mitzrayim and Halal. Why? To remember we came out of Egypt. Good, Pesach. Sukkos, sit in the sukkah, in order to remember that Anani HaKovod and everything that went on over there. Why is it on Shavuos? There is no practical mitzvah to remember what happened at Har Sinai. What a gewaltig kasha they fit with Aaron Cutler. And he answers the Yisoid like this, right? And it's, many people have answered this with different Yisoids. Says Rav Aaron, the Yisoid is like this. When it comes to Pesach, when it comes to Sukkot, what are we doing? We are commemorating something that happened previously. We want to relive it. We want to try and remember it. Therefore, we eat matzah and we say simply see the trial that will hopefully give us a memory, a jog, and will hopefully relive the situation. When it comes to Shavuos, it would be sheker for have a mitzvah to remember the Kabbalah HaTorah. Gosh, it's sheker. Why? Because Kabbalah HaTorah happens all the time. It's in the Torah, says Rav Aaron. Inside every single word and letter of the Torah is actually the Kabbalah HaTorah, and it's shaykh for a person, each person on his own level, to have his own personal Kabbalah HaTorah. And if we would come on Shavuos with some kind of memory and say, look, let's do this to remember what happened in Kabbalah HaTorah, we'd say, lovely piece of history. It happened all those years ago and we're trying to remember it again once a year. Lovely. That's not the pshat. Shavuos is not about remembering what happened. Horaya, we do nothing on Shavuos, obviously, except for the cheesecake, to remember what happened over there on Kabbalah HaTorah. Because we have to realize Kabbalah HaTorah applies to all of us on our personal level, whatever that may be. Such a yisoid, it's unbelievable. We also know as well, also Gavaldiga thought before, I've got a couple of stories to share with you. And that is, Rav Shimshon Mefal Hirsch writes on the Chumash, such a yisoid, I never had such a one. This is mamish, unbelievable. He writes like this. We know in the Torah, it's not called Chag HaShavuos. It's not called Chag Matan Torah Seinu. It's Chag HaBikurim. What's the pshat? So he makes a cheshbon, a very interesting cheshbon. I'm sure everybody here has probably made themselves. And he says, everybody knows, when did we leave Mitzrayim? When did we leave Egypt? On a Thursday. That's a double poshet. Right? There's a machlokes when Kabbalah HaTorah was, 6 or 7, whatever. But everybody agrees it was on Shabbos. Everyone agrees it was on Shabbos. Make the cheshbon of both. That's, by the way, we know we make on Kiddush. Shabbos, right? We may have shared Kiddush on the mitzvahs of Tzivon. On Shabbos, that's when we received the Torah. That's when everybody got the mitzvahs. Okay. So if we know that we left the Mitzrayim on Thursday, and the Torah is giving on Shabbos, it means that the 15th of Nisan was on a Thursday. When is the 50th day of the Omer? Friday. That's the day before Shavuos. That's the day before Matan Torah, because Matan Torah was on Shabbos. So I have a question of Isai. Asked Rav Shimshon Mefal Hirsch, why do we celebrate, so to speak, the day before Matan Torah, and not Matan Torah itself? Don't you think the celebration should be on the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah? Not the day before. So he said, no. See, all this is beautiful. The answer is mamish beautiful. He says like this. He says, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down from Shemayim and appeared to us in a cloud of glory, no, not such a gracious simcha, something to be sameach about. What's the gracious simcha? When a Yid realizes that his life is empty without the Torah, and he's waiting after a Sfiras HaOmer for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give the Torah, that's the biggest simcha. That's why we celebrate Dafke Shavuos the day before and not the day after. So many people go through their lives thinking, what do we need Torah for? It's a great life. We wake up in the morning, we do this, we go to work, whatever we do, we're living fine. That's a sad point. If you don't realize that Torah is in your life and directs your life, then that's sad. But if a person realizes that he needs Torah, and Torah is the direction that his life should be taking, that is the real simcha, and that's the reason why dafka we celebrate on the day before, not the day itself. There was a tremendous tzaddik in Tzfas. Anybody that went to Tzfas probably heard this. It's a gewaldige meister.
There was a famous tzaddik who lived in Tzaddik called Rav Avraham Miavrich. Rav Avraham Miavrich. Avrich, tremendous tzaddik. Right? He lived over there, famous earthquake that was in Tzfas, right? Everybody knows there was a famous earthquake in Tzfas. What happened by the famous earthquake in Tzfas? Right, moments before the earthquake happened, he called over and he said, Rabbi, anybody that wants to live, stand next to me. People started running towards him. A second later, the earthquake happened, the rest of the building collapsed. It's an unbelievable miracle. He was the Mechaber Sefer of the Vulgar Sefer called Basayim. Anyway, how did he come to Eretz Yisrael? He wasn't born in Eretz Yisrael, he was born in Avrich. So how did he come to Eretz Yisrael? It's a Gemara Gemaisa. He came to Eretz Yisrael like this. He was in Avrich. And one of these Rabbonim that go around collecting money was there. And they said to him, and they were getting shiurim, whatever it was, and he was listening, and one of the things they said is about Eretz Yisrael. And they said, you should know, Eretz Yisrael is a place that you take your hand, and you bend down and you reach a whole, you know, fistful of mud and dirt, and you look there and really it's a fistful of diamonds. And when he heard that, he said, wow, I've got to come to Eretz Yisrael. And he did, he came to Eretz Yisrael, and he's going to settle in Tzfas. Many years later, he met this actual rabbi that told him this. And he said, what a bunch of bubamaisers, what are you telling me? This is what you got me here to Eretz Yisrael, you know, a bunch of diamonds. I don't see nothing, what are you talking about? So the fellow said to him like this. He said, just because you don't see it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And he took it to heart. He locked himself in a room for 3 months and he sat learning solid. And he came out, he said, Rabbi, stop making a kiddush. He said, why? He says, because now I fully appreciate what he meant. When you don't see something, it's because you don't appreciate it. When you appreciate something, then you realize it's special. And the same applies to Torah as well. Right, imagine if I told you I've got a plot of land, a huge field full of land, and I own it. Wow, very impressive, a lot of money. What if I told you I only have like an apartment building? Okay, nice. What if I tell you I have an amount of land the size of this? Not very big, not worth much money. Alright. What if I tell you I have a diamond as big as an orange? Much smaller than this, but its value, oh, it's probably the biggest diamond in the world, probably worth I don't know how much. Much worth my, but it's only small. The answer is when something is much more valuable, it doesn't have to be in big sizes. It doesn't have to be small. We have to realize what I say. Torah is exactly the same thing as that. The Nefesh HaChaim writes. This is unbelievable. First, you have to realize this. Shavuos night is coming. The Nefesh HaChaim writes when every single person in this room sits down in front of a Sefer and opens up a Gemara and says, Omar Habaya. So the Nefesh HaChaim. In Shomayim, the Malachim are saying, stop! Let's listen to the music of this beautiful person saying Torah. We don't realize it. You think, what's the big deal? Yes, a Tosfos, not a Tosfos. Yes, a Gemara. Yes, a Chumash. Yes, a Halacha. No, a Mishnah. It means nothing. You know, somebody once asked, I think it was the Chofetz Chaim or the son of the Chofetz Chaim. I hope this might be for a Ravai Maxim Shlita. He said, somebody once asked, I think it was the son of the Chofetz Chaim. How do we know what Shomayim think of us? You know, we don't get like a report card once every month to see like, you know, how we're doing sort of thing. How do we do realize? So he said a tremendous story. And he said, the way you look at things is the way Shomayim looks at you. It's like a mirror. Which means, if by you davening with the tzibur is a chosh of a thing, you won't do anything to miss it, then it means in Shomayim, they look at your davening like something so special. If when it comes to Torah, and you're like, sometimes yes, sometimes no, a little bit, then that's how they look at your Torah. But if you look at Torah as something choshev, then Shomayim look at your Torah also as something being choshev. There was a maestro in America, there was a camp in America in the Catskills for Mechanchen, Rebbeim, all sorts of people. They all got together for, you know, obviously a couple of weeks of inspiration and chizuk, whatever it was. And in walks in a man, didn't look like the most learned man. He was obviously in chinuch, and he walks in with a nice big fat arch called Gemara. So, walks in, face beaming at the beginning of the holiday, beginning of his vacation, he's all excited. So a Pesach Kron that says over the Meister said he was there, and he asked the fellow, no, what are you so excited about? He said, you have to understand. I never get time to learn anything, right? I can't learn very well myself anyway, but now is the time. I've got 2-3 weeks of vacation together with all the Hoshima people. I've got my Gemara. I'm roaring to go. Wow, unbelievable. At the end of the holiday, he meets the fellow. He says, no, how was it? Must have been amazing. So I'll tell you the truth. It was an absolute waste of time. I didn't learn anything. I've got my house. All these people are putting out Rashbos and Ritzos and Shulchanos and Rosh. I can't live up to that. I didn't learn anything. So Pesach Kron told him the following Maisa. Tremendous Maisa. And he said the Maisa as follows. There was a famous conductor. Famous conductor. And this conductor was a conductor of a famous symphony. And it was a special time that this symphony got together.
the European Symphony, and he would go, tremendous public crowd, thousands of people were watching, he was the conductor, it was an unbelievable situation, he was all, you know, in the newspapers, and it was a Gewaltiger Sach. When he got older, he was too old to travel, and he had to stay at home, he used to listen to it on the radio. Anyway, a couple of years later, he gets a phone call from somebody who has a newspaper, and they said, listen, we'd like to interview you as this wonderful conductor, we'd like to interview you to see, you know, what you say. He said, listen, no problem, I don't mind, but don't come on Tuesday. He said, what's wrong with Tuesday? Well, Tuesday, you can't come. Well, but why not? He said, because Tuesday is the time when the symphony that I used to conduct actually, you know, perform, and I listened on the radio very intently. I listened really, really well. Oh, could we come and listen? I'd like to see what you think of it, and we'd like to get your opinion. He said, no, I need perfect silence. I can't have anybody else there. He said, come on, we'll come and we'll listen. We'll be really quiet. So fine, no problem. On one condition, don't say a word. Fine, so he comes over there. They listen, they're quiet. At the end of the thing, when they finished, so he says, how was it? So he said, it was very nice, but the 15th violinist was missing. I said, oh, come on, it was beautiful. You're looking at the 15th violinist. It doesn't make any sense. He said, yes, understand. You're looking at it as the whole. You're looking at it as a whole picture of a beautiful music. I'm looking at it as every single instrument as being separate, and I noticed that the 15th one is missing. So the journalist said, okay, maybe yeah, maybe no, maybe he's getting a bit old, and maybe he's forgetting himself, whatever. That was the interview. He calls back the symphony a couple of days later. He said, let me tell you something. Let me ask you a question. Were all the people there? He said, yeah, except for one, the 15th violinist. And he was shocked. It was unbelievable. Momish unbelievable. So Pesach Kohen once said this Maaseh, he said that the same thing goes on in Shamayim. You know, we often think our Torah makes a difference. We say a Mishnah, we say a Halacha, we say a bit of Chumash, we say a Gemara. Does it really make a difference? Does anybody really care? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't look at it as the whole. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at each person separately. And if you are the one that's meant to be saying a piece of Gemara, a piece of Chumash, a Mishnah, whatever it is, and you don't, it's like that person that misses the 15th violinist. It's something that's so choshev, Rabbi. So we have to remember, Shavuos is coming, this man of Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that a person can have his own Matan Torah, his own Kabbalah HaTorah, and therefore if a person comes to Shavuos with the enthusiasm, with the excitement, that this is this man that a person can mekabel Torah from Har Sinai, his own personal Torah on his level, then Be'ez Hashem, Rabbi Shalom, should give us all siyata d'shmaya to be mekabel the Torah on Har Sinai, in our own personal Shavuos, here in the Yeshiva.